This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we inch closer toward the culmination of St. Luke's Gospel with Crucify, Crucify, Father, Forgive, Jesus, Remember Me, Into Your Hands, and Burial. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Not sure if you know who I am, but I'm about to rule the world.
Wow, yay!
But there's one problem. There's a human, has a mustache, just like you.
You think I know every human being with a mustache wearing an identical outfit with a hat with the letter of his first name on it? Because I don't.
Bowser is coming. Together, we are going to stop that monster.
How? Look at us. We're adorable.
Oh, I got this. No problem.
Huge universe out there.
Whoa.
With a lot of galaxies. They're all counting on us.
Mario!
No pressure.
Some excerpts from the Super Mario Brothers movie. We've seen movies made into video games, now video games made into movies. Is it a good children and family movie? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be reviewing the Super Mario Brothers movie with Pastor Ted Geese in the first half hour or so of the program. Terry Mattingly joins us after that from Get Religion to discuss media coverage of the 2022 membership losses in the Southern Baptist Convention. Almost half a million. That's a lot. And it's happening very quickly. Then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, will be alongside to discuss King Charles III as the defender of the faith. Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I don't believe this is the first movie made from a video game. They often go the other way, though. Who's the audience for Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, so there's a couple things we could talk about there. One thing is that this is rated PG, and it could almost maybe even be rated G in some markets. I don't know, but it's rated PG. It's really a kids movie in a lot of ways. It's pretty simple. Like, the story is simple. And it is like computer animated stuff. So it's going to appeal to kids. It's brightly colored, etc. But the audience is probably pretty varied because this is based on the Super Mario Brothers console game from the 80s. So they have, like, let's say, quite a bit of different generations of people who are going to be potentially interested in this film, going all the way back to the original Nintendo gaming console. So you're going to get people even in their probably 50s and 60s who would be interested in this movie, and also little kids. So you got this kind of wide variety. It's a family movie, really, actually. So that would be your kind of general audience. But you're right. This isn't the first of these kind of movies. In fact, and you'd said that it kind of goes the other way sometimes. Well, we had years and years ago, like 1993, the first time that they really tackled this Super Mario Brothers. Did you ever see this movie, this crazy one from, you know, it was called Super Mario Brothers. It was from 1993, and it had in it Bob Hoskins as Mario and John Leguizamo as Luigi and Dennis Hopper. And, like, it was just a very strange live action version of Super Mario Brothers. Did you watch that years ago? Did that come up for you?
I have no memory of that whatsoever.
Listen, this is in the it's so bad, it's good, and maybe wrapping back around to it's so bad again kind of category of things. It is the most bonkers of movies. So anyone who remembered that from back all those years ago might have thought to themselves, I don't know if you can even do a Super Mario Brothers anything, actually. But the people who have put this together, they've been involved in some of those Despicable Me kind of projects and some things. This is not Disney, by the way, so it's a little bit of a, it's computer animation, computer graphics stuff, but it's its own thing, this new film. And they've kind of gone to the source material in such a way that it's very faithful to the games, or at least as far as I can tell, even weaving in stuff like from Mario Kart and different kinds of things. So there's a lot of fun to be had just kind of watching this up on the screen. So I don't know if that kind of helps. I think that it's going to appeal to a pretty wide audience. And one of the reasons I can kind of tell that it has is that it's made quite a bit of money. So it looks like it's made over $1 billion in its worldwide gross for the film. So its budget was estimated about $100 million, and the opening weekend was $146 million. So they made back all of their initial investment in the first weekend, you know, and then there's advertising and stuff like that. But I think that it's been a wildly successful film because people can bring their kids, their grandkids to it and watch it, and has mass appeal, I should say.
Do you have to have played the game? Not, well, it's not just the game. It's the hundreds of variations on the game. Do you have to have played one of them to get the storyline?
I don't really think so. I think if you kind of wandered in cold on this, they give you enough out of the gate. Yeah, there's going to be lots of what they call Easter eggs in this, like little bits and pieces that are going to be things that people pick up on, if kind of almost like inside jokes and whatever that, you know, if you haven't played the games, you might be like scratching your head over. But the general story itself, I think, is sufficiently laid out that you could go to it without having looked at any of these things and still follow the story and understand what's going on.
What is the plot?
The general plot of this is that you've got the Mario brothers. These guys are a pair of plumbers from Brooklyn, New York, and they get sucked into this magical alternate dimension where they're split up. Mario goes, and he's voiced by Chris Pratt, goes off to this Mushroom Kingdom. And Luigi, voiced by Charlie Day, goes off to Bowser's Koopa Kingdom. And Bowser is the kind of big villain. He's like this kind of giant turtle monster dragon thing. And he's voiced by Jack Black, who's giving this part the full-on Tenacious D slash Meatloaf kind of style overhaul to the character. Lots of musical numbers for him, and it sounds like something you'd get out of like Bat Out of Hell, kind of like Meatloaf kind of style singing. He gets sucked over to that kingdom, and then this Bowser is like threatening to kind of take over all of these kingdoms, and each kingdom has its own kind of flavor to it. But really what he wants to do is he wants to propose to Princess Peach, who's like the queen of the Mushroom Kingdom, and that's a character voiced by Anya Taylor-Joy. So then added to this, you get this little character of Toad, who is Keegan-Michael Key plays that character, does the voice for that character. And Mario and them kind of go through this little adventure, picking up along the way Donkey Kong, voiced by Seth Rogen, to help thwart Bowser, find his brother Luigi, stop everything from being corrupted. And then, as you can possibly imagine, Bowser gets thwarted, his proposal is rebuffed, Mario and Donkey Kong and Luigi and Princess Peach save the day. That's kind of your story in a nutshell, and it's mixed with all sorts of little game related things all the way through the whole entire film.
Does it at any time basically get into the game? I mean, the game of kind of running, or in the case of the cart versions, driving and collecting coins and all those kinds of things? Or does it dispense with the gameplay element?
Oh, no, it has some of that kind of stuff right baked into it. And, you know, there's one, the kind of training sequence where Mario, the idea is that he's never been to this place. So he's just trying to figure out what to do to try to save his brother and everything. So he has to go kind of through training to be able to do all of this game related stuff that you would play in the game. And they have that in this training section. There is a part of it that is like very much like Mario Kart. It's almost exactly like that. Near the very beginning of the film, before they get sucked into it, there's this kind of side-scrolling style sequence where they're kind of going through the streets of Brooklyn trying to cut their way from one place to another place to like solve a plumbing problem. And it's very reminiscent of that kind of original first Mario Brothers game. So they do have this stuff built right in. And even some of the major plot points, listen, we're going to spoil some things, but I won't spoil everything. But like, there's like a little award that you like, if you bump onto like things, you little, I don't know, there's little boxes with question marks and you don't know what you're going to get. There is a kind of an award that gives you a bonus power up kind of a thing. And that becomes a pivotal part of the whole entire story. And it's used the same way that it would be used in the game. So yeah, they do weave all of that stuff very, very well into the film.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We are looking at the movie Super Mario Brothers. When we come back, are the characters relatable?
Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Bless you and keep you.
Lord, listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Does this sound like your church budget process at the end of the year? You get last year's budget and go through with a committee line by line, maybe what we should spend next year. Maybe you have a prayer. But where's the Word of God in this process? When do the people hear what the small catechism says about giving and why we do it? Contact us at LCMS Stewardship so that we can help you fix this process, put the Word of God first, and put your congregation on a good footing. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back. We are looking at the movie Super Mario Brothers. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. So, Ted, given that this is a movie based on a video game, are the characters relatable? Can you relate to them?
Well, listen, this is not really deep, but, you know, neither does it have to be. It's a kid's movie, right? So how many times do we opine the fact that you'll be watching some kid's movie and they'll have some stuff in it that's like, why are you bringing this up into a kid's movie? Why does this all have to be all of this kind of culture war battlefield stuff like in some kids movie? Can't a kids movie just be a kids movie that's kind of relating to the concerns that kids might have? And this movie does that. So it's not maybe super duper deep, but it does cover some good and kind of important themes and topics through the film. But yeah, it's not terribly deep. And I think in that way, it's not hard to follow as a story, like I was saying before.
So what are the family dynamics found in this film?
Yeah, well, in the name of the movie, it's Super Mario Brothers. So these are brothers. So one of the main themes is just like the how much these two brothers really have each other's backs. And like they're plumbers, they're quote unquote Italian in this movie. But they do this thing right at the beginning, which is kind of fun. They do this thing where the it's-a-me, a Mario, kind of like really shticky Italian over-the-top accent. That's all just kind of part of a TV commercial they've made for their plumbing company. And they've left this job with this other plumbing company to branch out on their own, to be their own plumbing company. And they've made this TV commercial and it has that in there. And this all relates back to like these brothers really love each other. They're there for each other. They're going to, you know, have each other's back, whatever is going on, kind of a thing. But it's set up quite early on in the film that the father doesn't understand why they would leave this great job that they already had to step out on their own and that maybe they would fail. And he says it's not smart to leave a good job. So there's this, it's built into the beginning of the film that Mario and Luigi, but particularly Mario, doesn't feel like he has his father's approval. So you've got this desire to have his father's approval as part of the story that unfolds through this movie. Now, as they go along the way, they come in contact with Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong also is kind of a showboater. He's not really well respected by his own father. So his father kind of thinks that he's not really amounting to very much. So both Donkey Kong and the character of Mario, but also Luigi, they're all seeking to have approval from their father. And by the end of the film, they've all done heroic things. They've saved the day. And at the end of the film, they get the approval of their fathers. That's part of this story. And this is kind of like I said, these are the kinds of concerns that kids might have. And it's not a complicated story, but it's a worthwhile story to look at.
So is it a children's or a family film?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, like, these are the kinds of concerns a family might have, like within a family, or kids might have within a family. And it's not full of profanity. It's not like full of bad language or things like that. And also, like, the violence in it is the same sort of amount that you might find in a video in one of these Super Mario Brother videos. It's not gruesome or anything like that. It is the kind of thing that a family could go to. And then what's better on top of all of that is that it doesn't hate your guts. Like, sometimes these movies, they don't even like the fans that they in theory are making the film for, or perhaps they're trying to make a film for a audience that they would like to draw into the fandom, but not for the fans themselves. We see this over and over again with things like Star Wars and recently with the Lord of the Rings. There's these different franchises where they kind of muddy the waters by forgetting their initial fan base. This isn't that. It's not actively trying to undermine the family. It's a family film, so you wouldn't imagine it undermined. Sometimes you get these family films that are not kind towards families. I think back to, we were watching, I think it was the second, we were talking about the second of the How to Train Your Dragons film. And I think it was the second one. In the second one, the main character's father dies. And listen, you could have a father die in a kid's movie. I mean, you get mother characters dying in kids' movies, like in the Bambi cartoon. You could have that. But then it also was released on Father's Day. And this is something that we had kind of talked about back then. That's sort of hostile. You know what I mean? Like, you know that there's going to be fathers that have taken their kids to that movie on Father's Day or that Father's Day weekend. And then what happens in it? The father dies. It's kind of awful, like, in a way. It's kind of contextually rough. This film isn't trying to undercut family, which I think is an admirable thing to find in a film these days.
You're connected to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting a review of the Super Mario Brothers movie from Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. If you appreciate our movie reviews with Pastor Geese, be sure to subscribe to the Lutheran Witness magazine. The Lutheran Witness interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. An annual digital and print subscription is less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. We'll get some of Pastor Geese's concerns about the film next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we inch closer toward the culmination of St. Luke's Gospel with Crucify, Crucify, Father, Forgive, Jesus, Remember Me, Into Your Hands, and Burial. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Have you ever visited Latin or South America, and while you were there, wanted to find a Lutheran church in which you could worship and receive the Lord's Supper? Did you know that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has many partner churches in Latin and South America? In the May issue of the Lutheran Witness, we walk you through a brief history of our partners in the region. Subscribe to learn more and get a copy of Made and Marked by Christ, our May issue. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues, Etc., 713-855-2681.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries, right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He's reviewing the movie Super Mario Brothers with us. Pastor Geese, what kind of concerns do you have having seen the film?
Well, I guess one thing that I would have as a general concern would be that it does, because of the nature of the film itself, promote video games. And like video games, you know, this is kind of in that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, kind of all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up kind of category of things. So for families, they're going to have to keep in mind, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Because sometimes within families, like video games can be the source of conflict, just in terms of a lot of time towards games or times to be, you know, like with family apart from the games, or if it interferes with schoolwork or, you know, sleep schedules and things like that. So I guess if you're going to try to find a pastoral concern in this, maybe something that further reinforces all of that stuff might not be great for some kids and some families. So there's that. But overall, I would say that the film itself doesn't have a lot of majorly concerning things. It's interesting because I watched this film kind of back to back with another film, and we could kind of just have a little short side discussion about some interesting things to do with that too, if you don't mind. There's this other film that came out that was called Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. And this is like Dungeons and Dragons is its own kind of complicated thing with its own kind of complicated history, especially when it comes to Christianity and families and everything else. The interesting thing, and the reason why it kind of like is fits a little bit with this conversation, is that in that film, there is a real strong father-daughter relationship where everything that this guy does in the film is all done in the end, ultimately, for his daughter. He wants to try to get back his wife who had died because of a mistake that he'd made. And he has to kind of be honest and fess up about everything. But it becomes a really touching film. It, again, is it's not a film that is bringing in a lot of like weird, strange ideas. It could be just as like maybe for a slightly older audience, another good family film right now in terms of the family values that it portrays and also just kind of confession, absolution, and some things like that connected to it. I don't know what this all means. What I can tell you is that these are not products that were produced by Disney. So that Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves, it was produced by Paramount Pictures. And this Mario Brothers, the Super Mario Brothers film, is produced by Universal Pictures in conjunction with Nintendo, the company. So it seems as though, at least with these films, and with this one in particular, that they have not kind of bought into some of the grand overarching social engineering ideas in terms of being quote unquote on the right side of history when it comes to some of these very progressive ideas related to children, families, and life together in the world. So these movies would almost fit into kind of a more traditional approach to a lot of the aspects that revolve around family and things of that nature. And it's interesting to note too that the Super Mario Brothers movie, and we don't normally talk about this, but if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, which is kind of an aggregating of the various reviewers and audience scores, on Rotten Tomatoes, the Super Mario Brothers movie got 59% rotten from the reviewers and 96% positive, like fresh from the just the audience score. And another thing is that 59% from the reviewers, that was based on 258 reviews, where the audience score at 96% was based on over 10,000 plus verified ratings. So clearly there is an appetite within the population, the general movie-going audiences, to not have all of this progressive stuff in their films. At the very least, correlation doesn't mean causation, but certainly there is a correlation going on here. And it would be interesting to know if this is the cause of it, is that if people are showing now a little bit more that they're kind of fed up with things. I guess if you take a step further back and look at more other things that are going on generally in the cultural landscape at the time, right now, even like things like Bud Light has been dragged into all of this. There might be, and we have to remember with Hollywood, it takes like 2 or 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 years before they can start to right the ship and go in a different direction, because that's about as long as it takes for putting together a movie or a TV show or anything. Like, you don't just instantly right the ship. Like, if you want to go in a different direction, it's going to take a while before it really starts to show. And you can see that these companies are not going the same way that Disney seems hell-bent to go on at the moment.
You've mentioned several times here that this film is not Disney. I kind of wonder, it's a hypothetical, what would it be like if Disney did make it? But I think we have a pretty good idea that there would be elements in it that would, again, undermine the family and undermine all the normal, healthy relationships. Is this a maybe a glimmer of hope for the kind of movies that Hollywood is making for the family and for kids?
I think it can be. I hope that it is. I mean, you know, hope springs eternal here. But if you take that let the past die, kill it if you must, Kylo Ren approach, that Last Jedi style from Disney, they seem to be scorching the earth when it comes to all of these products. And if you want to be, like, let's say you're in the marketplace, like Universal Pictures and Paramount Pictures are, they're going to want to provide something maybe different from Disney. Because, you know, like, if it's all samey, that's no good. It could just be that they want to have something different from the prevailing kind of attitudes that are being purveyed by Disney, because that might work out for them in the marketplace of ideas and in the actual box office. That's possibly maybe why they'd be going a bit of a different direction. But maybe they do also believe that there's a better direction to go. And Nintendo as a company is a company that is notorious for being pretty tight-fisted on the way that their characters are portrayed. So I don't think that they would contractually or legally go for some of the changes that might have been suggested to them if this product was owned by Disney, not by Universal Pictures. So I think that those contracts are pretty iron tight. And I think that might also help with how these characters are portrayed in this film. But on the whole, it's a net positive, I think, the way that it's all put together. This isn't like Shakespeare. It's not like the be-all, end-all, best thing that ever existed, but it was kind of fun to go see. It was definitely more relaxing, easygoing, enjoyable kind of experience as compared to some of the more tedious things that you are asked to slog through along the way at various points.
Do you expect Disney to look at $1 billion of box office so far in excess and say, maybe we should be making more children's films like this?
Somebody somewhere has got to be looking at that. And I hope that they're looking at it pretty careful and sharpening their pencils, right? Because if they really want to make the money, then they should be thinking about this. We don't want them to be completely motivated by filthy lucre, let's say. There are good ideological and, where we're sitting from, spiritual Christian reasons for doing things differently than they've been doing them. So there's also that very ultimately most important part of all of this. But if at the very least the money issue would encourage them in a different direction, then that would be a good thing too.
Finally, you'll be back next week. We'll be doing a review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Just as a full disclosure, my son-in-law took our young grandchildren to see it. They liked the other two films, but this one was too sad for the kids, and they had to leave.
Too sad?
Yes. What are your expectations of that film?
Well, this is interesting. Now you're kind of whetting my interest, because, I mean, I found these kind of interesting and fun kind of a thing. Actually, that Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves film is kind of a little bit Guardians of the Galaxy-ish in some ways. So I was already kind of having my pump primed by that film leading into this. But I really actually try to avoid as much as possible before going to see a movie so I can kind of go in fresh. I think I might have seen one trailer back when it first dropped, and I've really avoided pretty much everything. So I didn't know that it was going to be sad. So this is kind of intriguing. I wonder why it's so sad. So now I'm curious. We'll have to talk about that more next week.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches, of course, for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You'll find a link to Pastor Geese's movie reviews on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break to talk about media coverage of the 2022 membership losses in the Southern Baptist Convention. How do you respond to the assertion, "I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church"? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, The Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.